Scott Walker has a strong lead in the latest Iowa poll. Hillary Clinton went bold on immigration yesterday, and Republicans in the Senate just passed the first joint budget resolution in more than 5 years. It's time for our weekly look at the latest in national politics. Joining us today is Francesca Chambers, political reporter at the Daily Mail. Francesca, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker still leading the pack, according to the latest Iowa poll. Does this seem to say to you that maybe he's got some staying power?
Absolutely. It's not just this poll. He has been consistently leading the polls in this state since he made a breakout speech in Iowa earlier this year. And so I think that the rest of the Republican field has a lot of catching up to do, as he's already locked up nearly a quarter of likely Republican caucus goers in that state. And it's, I mean, still pretty early, but his favorables are very, very high.
Now, it's worth pointing out that the governor hasn't even announced that he's running for president yet. We're everyone's assuming that he is, but is there anything unusual in this scenario?
Well, you know, I don't think it is considerably that he has, you know, already built up a campaign apparatus and hired a lot of staff. So I don't think that at this point that we have to worry about him not running. I think he's definitely running, whereas some of the other governors potentially might not be running. They haven't taken as many steps to build up a campaign as yet.
So what do you think he's waiting for?
Well, I think that you don't want to announce at the same time as everybody else's. Obviously, a whole slate of other Republicans have announced recently. I think that also you start to put a target on your back by being an actual candidate versus a presumed candidate. And I think he's waiting as long as possible. But I don't think that any of the presumed or expected candidates are going to be able to wait too much longer, because they start running into possible campaign finance violations at this point by the fact that everybody knows that they're running for president, yet they continue to work with political action groups that they shouldn't be working with if they are an actual candidate.
So we said Governor Scott Walker at the top of this latest Iowa poll. How does the rest of the Republican pack look?
Well, I think one of the most surprising statistics that I saw in this poll was that Jeb Bush is only getting 5% of likely Republican caucus goers. And, you know, one argument that's been made for him is that his last name is a huge problem. Potentially being affiliated with the Bush family name could hurt him. But in this poll, actually, what you see is that 80% of these same likely Republican caucus goers say very nice things about his father and say nice things about his brother. So in this particular instance, it's not that they have a negative opinion of the other members of the Bush family who have been president. So it shows that he might be having other problems. Maybe they just don't like him.
So in terms of significance, is this pretty bad news for Jeb Bush, that he's further down the list there?
Well, he's only been to Iowa once this year, and it's the first time that he had been into Iowa in many years. So I think that one of the things that he would really have to do is just go back to Iowa and actually show his face to voters, give them an opportunity to meet him and get to like him. He could change some minds if he wanted to, but I think this poll might serve as a wake-up to his campaign that they need to start doing that aggressively and very soon before Scott Walker does run away with it.
Well, just to put this in perspective, how predictive is a win in Iowa on a future win in the final election?
Well, that is a good point. A lot of candidates who went to win Iowa don't go on to win the general election or even the Republican primary for that matter. Last time it was Rick Santorum who won Iowa technically after a recount, and we all know that he did not end up being the Republican nominee. So it's not all important to win Iowa per se. However, candidates would need to win at least Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina or Nevada, you know, the early primary states, in order to get the kind of momentum that they would need. So if Jeb Bush can't win Iowa, then he absolutely has to win one of those other states.
We're catching up on national politics right now with Francesca Chambers, a political reporter at the Daily Mail. And also in presidential election news, Hillary Clinton spoke in Nevada yesterday and came out strong on immigration. Here's what she had to say.
We can't wait any longer for a path to full and equal citizenship. Now, this is where I differ with everybody on the Republican side. Make no mistakes. Today, not a single Republican candidate, announced or potential, is clearly and consistently supporting a path to citizenship. Not one. When they talk about legal status, that is code for second class status.
A bold announcement from Hillary Clinton yesterday. How do you frame what she just said there?
Well, you know, there's an interesting debate actually going on at the White House today, because I'm also the Daily Mail's White House correspondent, about whether or not, as president, if she were elected president, there is anything more she could even legally do that that President Obama did not already do. She said yesterday that she would potentially go further than he went if Congress was unwilling to act. But whether or not she could legally go further is highly debatable.
And there's another question that some people have been talking about. Is it absolutely true that she's the only candidate supporting a path to citizenship like this?
Well, I will say that a lot of the Republicans have been a little bit skittish to put their opinion out there on the issue, because they risk isolating Hispanics by saying that they do not support a pathway to citizenship. At the same time, they risk isolating conservatives that they need to get them through the primary to the general election to even be worried about the Hispanic general population if they say that they support a pathway to citizenship. And so I will say that she clearly has taken, I think, the most aggressive and boldest stance on the issue. But that's not to say that there aren't other Republicans running who may support some sort of a pathway to citizenship. For instance, Marco Rubio, he is one of the original Gang of Eight in the Senate. You know, he supported originally a pathway to citizenship. And while he has backed away from that a little bit, I think it still stands that he would be one of the Republican candidates that would be willing to do the most on immigration.
Do you see the issue of immigration being a challenge for Republican candidates?
Yes, I do think it is very much of a challenge for Republican candidates for the reasons that I just stated before, because, you know, they cannot risk isolating conservatives who are very much against that pathway to citizenship if they want to win in those states like Iowa, you know, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. They need to get that momentum. But certainly if they come out too strongly against it, then they can't win the general election either, because Hispanics make up such a growing portion of the general electorate.
Well, moving on, yesterday the Senate passed its first joint budget resolution in more than 5 years. First off, what is a joint budget resolution?
I know, it's all very confusing. Basically, Republicans in the Senate and Republicans in the Senate in the House came together and they agreed on a blueprint, so to speak, that will basically serve as guidelines for all these appropriation bills that they're going to try to pass in this session of Congress. And it really has absolutely no binding or legal status at all. It won't go to the White House. It won't go to the president. Again, it's just a blueprint for the bills and the appropriations that they're going to do in the future.
And yet some Republican leaders saying, you know, we know that it's not binding and then the president would veto what we put forward anyway, but we're going to go forward with it in good faith because we passed it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Republicans are trying to differentiate themselves from Democrats. When Democrats were in charge of the Senate, they didn't pass the budget at all. And so I think that they're just trying to show that they have stronger leadership than Democrats and that they'll stick to their principles, even if they're unpopular, and they'll stand up to the president because they feel that that's what they were elected to do in November, to be a check on the president's power.
Now, is this the kind of thing that would appeal to the Republican base? Although it is non-binding, will Republican voters look at this and will approval ratings go up?
Well, I don't know that the approval ratings will go up, because as we just talked about, the budget's very complicated, it's non-binding, and not all of the topics that are in it are the ones that I like to call sexy per se. But at the same time, I do think that this is something that Republicans will be able to point to and say, we're getting things done in Congress, we are passing legislation, as I think the Republicans like to say this session, we're putting, you know, Congress back to work.
And finally, you know, last week on this show, we spoke to Senator Ron Johnson about his priorities for a deal with Iran and about the amendment process in the Senate for a bill that would give Congress a final say in that deal. Where does that bill stand now?
Well, there is about to be a vote on that deal, and it would appear that because Senate Majority Leader McConnell has essentially stifled debate on some of the amendments that would scuttle the deal, that it will move forward in the Senate, and it therefore will move forward in the House as well, because Republicans have even more seats, you know, in the House than they do percentage-wise in the Senate. And the White House has said that as long as there are no egregious amendments, that they will not veto this bill. So it looks as if Congress will get to have a say in the Iran deal.
Francesca, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
That was Francesca Chambers, political reporter at the Daily Mail. We dig into the latest in national politics every week at this time.